right, we are live. Welcome to The Expansive. John, brother, how are you doing? How was Geneva?
Geneva was, felt like I was in a 1998 chic boutique. The whole city is like this very chic, looked after, well done, but dated by 25 years. So still have like shoe shop, like retail things that just don't make sense to me anymore. But it was brilliant. The food was great. I had far too many croissants and far too much good food. It was freezing, but I loved it. Yeah, it was amazing. Geneva was, and now I've ticked it. I'm not going back. I mean, it's a bit boring, but it's brilliant.
I was thinking one way we could start the pod is that we play a game like, where in the world is John? And the problem with that is that my knowledge of geography is extremely shocking.
Is it?
Out of all the things that I know in the world, geography is the thing I know the least about.
Oh, wow.
And so the only way it would actually work is if you go like, okay, today I'm in a city called Dubai. Like, I think I'd be able to piece that together. But apart from that, if you...
Oh, you mean just leave some letters out?
Yeah, you need to make it like grade one level sort of assessments and questionnaires.
Right.
Because otherwise I'd have no idea.
Next, I'm going to a place with a river called the Bosphorus. Do you know where that is?
Yeah, no, absolutely no
idea. Very famous river that splits Asia. I tell you, it splits Asia and Europe. This river splits Asia and Europe. This country is both on Europe and Asia.
Give me the start and the end.
No, wait. It's known for these sweets that have got their names on them, but it's called Delight.
Oh, Turkey.
Hey, well done. Very good. Here's a gold star for you, Eric, for your geography lesson today.
Yeah, thank you for that. When I was very, very young, we went on a little tour, and Istanbul was one of the places we visited. Mm. And I just remember us walking down the streets and like, they had these like a plethora of carpet stores. And like once you go into the carpet store, like they'll actually lock the doors behind you and like give you apple tea and sit you down and
welcome to the Middle East.
I didn't really know. I just remember being very young and like it feeling very hostile to me. It's the only thing I can really remember. But yeah, it was an amazing experience.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be a big event. I'm staying at the weekend and I'm doing like, I want to go to high-end hammam, where you get a big hairy guy to wash you down. I mean, it sounds a bit dodgy, but it's not. And the second thing is a great shisha shop. I mean, I don't really smoke shisha, but, you know, I like to do things like the city you're in, you need to like dive in to whatever that city is about.
Definitely.
So like the bakeries in Geneva were off the charts. I mean, they were unbelievable. Every corner, there was a bakery and croissants and I don't know, all sorts of different things that I ate far too much of. But every city has got its thing, you know? Like in Manila and Jakarta, I was eating noodles for breakfast. And it was brilliant because, it was so delicious and good and great energy for the day. It really suited my system, you know? So I try and dive as deep as I can into that culture, unless you're asking me to eat like chicken feet or something like that. I can't do that. But like, I have a level. But I mean, croissants and noodles for breakfast, I'm in any day of the week.
Listen, that sounds like an amazing breakfast. Let's dive into the pod for today. We have a few different topics that we want to cover. So do you want to kick us off with one of yours?
Yes. So what we got to realize is that March, the month of March, the most unbelievable innovations happened that exponentially moved humans into the future. But most people don't even know about half of these. You might have seen the other half in scrolling Instagram. But if we think about it, the future really arrived in March in like some unbelievable ways. There's a great line that says the future is here, just unevenly distributed. And if we just think about just one, and I'll start with one, and I've got 10 of them. But one thing that happened this month in March is that Starship was launched. Now, Starship is the biggest rocket humans have ever made. And this Starship is now in orbit and is taking payloads up into space. And that's what Elon Musk is all about, is taking as much into space for as cheaply as possible. So the bigger the rocket, the cheaper a kilo it is to get into space. And when I was at NASA event, the guy was telling me that you can't build a city and you can't take concrete from Earth because it's so expensive. So you actually have to make concrete there with moon dust. And so the way he was explaining to me got me to really understand payloads really well. So to know that March was the month that we as humans launched the biggest rocket ever into orbit called Starship. So hats off to Elon Musk for getting that right and getting as much of the sort of payload up there. And The second thing, and I'll just give you one other point, which has also got Elon Musk attached to it, was the world's first Neuralink was put into a human's brain. This guy is totally paralyzed. He's able to play chess. He's able to tweet. And now all of a sudden, we have people with handicaps that are able to do things that, you know, unhandicapped people can do. And we have a brand in Denmark called Be My Eyes, which used to be a volunteer program where you could have a blind person video call you and you could tell them what they were looking at. Now there's something called Be My AI, which is an AI that is able to see anything and communicate it to the blind person. That means that every blind person now has a 24/7 visual AI help that can describe anything that's going on around you, even look at your pantry and tell you what's in the pantry and what recipes you can cook. I mean, so if we think about what just happened in March, just by getting things into space and into our brains, that is able now to have handicapped people move eventually, because that will eventually also start to happen, is that people that can't move their legs will be able to do that because you're connecting the neural pathways that were otherwise severed. And so that's just amazing. Blind people can see, handicapped people can walk, people that can't talk can now play chess and tweet, and we got the biggest rocket in space. I mean, geez, that's just two, and there's so much that I can cover.
I'm going to continue on that same trend then, because I saw this thing where NVIDIA partnered with a company called Hippocratic. And so, you know, when obviously like when you're in med school, what you do is you lay down the Hippocratic Oath that says you'll look after your patients to the best of your ability, you'll do no harm. And one of the biggest challenges always in the field of medicine is patient compliance. You know, is that once you've been through a big surgery or you've had a heart attack or whatever it may be, what's important is that in that moment you get stabilized, but afterwards how you take your medication, you know, your compliance with medication, your ability to change your lifestyle, all of that is like, it's crucial to make sure that you have a good recovery and also that you're not going to relapse at some point, that you might experience the same thing.
Yeah.
So Hippocratic, what they do is they are essentially like an LLM, like a large language model, but focused on healthcare. And so what you do is like when you go onto their website, you can actually view and hire different nurses. And all these nurses have very specific specialities. So here's a nurse that deals with pre-op, total knee replacements, remote patient monitoring. Some of them deal with chronic heart failure. And essentially what they do is that you can hire this nurse that then looks after you telephonically. So like, and it's amazing. Like you must just go onto the website and listen to them talk to a patient. It's incredible. So each nurse has a different like name. They have different ethnicities, different genders. So you can choose the nurse that you kind of resonate with the most. And then when you hire them, and by the way, they've all been given ratings by actual doctors and nurses for how they respond to patients.
Oh.
And you'll see their rating. And so like they all have like 85% and up approval rating by healthcare professionals. And so what happens is like, you get discharged, you get a nurse that is assigned to you or that you might hire in this instance. And this nurse like phones you and checks in with you. And you must listen to the conversation. It sounds so real. So she'll phone you, she'll say, hi, you know, my name is Linda. I'm your AI nurse that's been assigned to you. How are you doing? Like, you know, can we talk a little bit about you first? And then the guy will go, yes, let's talk about me. And so she'll say, you know, how's it been at home since you've been, you know, discharged? Anything that you're struggling with, you know, he mentions his dog and she's like, how's things going with your dog? And then she's like, okay, are you okay to move on to the medicine side now? And like, and then he talks about how his medicine, he doesn't quite understand it. And she clarifies for him what he should be taking, when he should be taking it. It's just an incredible conversation. And what's interesting is, as well is that every nurse has their own engagement style. So you can say, I want someone who's direct to the point, no fuss. Or I want someone who's very engaging, nice bedside manner. And, you know, again, I think...
Sorry, what's this dating app called? What's this dating app called? Was it?
Listen, please just use it for its intended use.
No, trust me, this is just going to... I mean, it's a 1 degree difference.
Oh, for sure.
Here's your girlfriend, here's your boyfriend. Do you want to...
Oh, for sure.
Do you want transgender? Do you want male? Do you want female? Okay, what do you want?
But listen, that's actually...
You can have anything you want.
When I was looking at this, you know, what's incredible is that this technology is existing and that you know, if this nurse called you out of the blue, you almost wouldn't realize that this is an AI calling you. That's the amazing part of it. But what I actually wrote down is our relationship with AI is going to change fundamentally. With technology is going to change fundamentally because we are going to become so attached to our AI helpers. And, you know, I mean, we've seen this over the years that
Didn't somebody on this podcast spoke about it a little while back? I think it's called the intimacy economy.
Yeah, I mean, I've spoken about it before, but I'm not going to regurgitate that right now. You know,
it is the intimacy economy. This is the intimacy of our friendships that we're going to be developing with these machines. It's unreal. It's so odd because it's going to happen whether you like it or not. Because I mean, it's mad.
And what do you think when it really is? Like, we're going to have a certain relationship with these AI tools, even when their primary function isn't relationship. So, you know, if you think of Figure One that has OpenAI like bolted into it, like over time, you are going to develop a relationship with a robot, essentially.
And of course.
And you've seen those things where, like, you know, people get...
The robot becomes sentient.
Well, the robot, you know, where like they've given a robot a name or whatever, and then they say to someone, destroy the robot. And then the people aren't willing to do that because they already feel, even though there's nothing there, they just feel like I can't hurt this thing that has a name. And so now imagine, so you have tools and robotics that their main function isn't relationship. But then you have tools and AI functions that their main function is relationship. So where you have exactly this Hippocratic thing, but it's for dating sites. Can you imagine what's going to happen? I struggle to actually think into a future where we fall in love with technology. And I'm sure people are going to try and marry their AI partner counterparts, put them into a figure one.
Oh, without
one
a doubt. I mean, people are marrying flipping
rocks. And
people are marrying less things. Yes, exactly.
So
exactly.
Very, very.
But I mean, one of the points I was going to bring up was also figure one, because figure one now has been launched with some huge investors, Jeff Bezos, like all the top billionaires have invested in this company. And it's a robot that speaks like a human, that's got a and an R, is able to deal with complex problems, is able to, the guy says to him, while you're throwing this trash out, tell me what I can eat on the table. And the robot's like, he does like a human. He's like, you can have the apple and I'll be throwing the trash out. And he says, why did you give me the apple? He says, the only thing on the table you can eat. So just the complexity of doing tasks while thinking through things. And this is just ChatGPT-4. We haven't reached ChatGPT 4.5 or 5 that's about to come out. And so we have this very, very incredible humanoid type engagement with these robots, which is, I think we have to really change our consciousness and our perspective around this because it's scary in every way that you want to think about it. And if we think, carry on talking about NVIDIA, NVIDIA launched a chip this month called the Blackwell chip. It is the most powerful graphical processing chip in the history by far. And it's funny because every time you turn around, there's a new chip that's been launched by some new company that's got 3 billion new transistors on it. And you're like, how? Like, how do you get so many? Like, what happened that you only had 256 KBMs a few decades ago and now you've got billions of transistors? And I mean, this is not even before we figured out new materials, because that's also next. Because when we start figuring out new materials, these chips will get even smaller and even lighter and even more powerful in their process. So yeah, March, I mean, as you mentioned, this new thing with nurses, that's just another one. I didn't even know about this one, but I've got a few more. Do you want to jump in with another one
Do you wish that you invested in NVIDIA like maybe about a year or 2 years ago?
I have friends who have, and they're smiling all the way to the bank.
They've killed it.
But think about, like, I mean, he's the new Steve Jobs, this guy.
Yeah, but I mean, ultimately, this is what... this is the big arms race right now is for chips because that's why we've said before Sam Altman wants to raise $7 trillion. Because it's all about the chips. Like if you don't have powerful enough chips, you can't power powerful artificial intelligences.
Yeah, so, exactly.
Yeah, it's very interesting. I was just going to say, I was listening to an interview with him and he said, don't send your kids to learn coding anymore. He said, like, in a few years from now, like we'll just be speaking to machines and they'll do the coding for you. So like to go and the reason I mentioned this is because I remember about 2 years ago, I was speaking to someone and they were like, I'm thinking about what my kids should go and study in varsity. Like they want to go do graphic design. And I was like, I can see that they might, you know, be enticed by it, but have you seen these technologies and what they're able to do? And my advice at the time was, like, you probably need to look more to the computer sciences. So things like coding, where you can actually work with machines. And now that advice is irrelevant as well, because very soon you won't need to have all that intricate knowledge about coding.
Well, that's a fantastic segue into my next point, because a company called Cognition launched a AI large language model that is the world's first developer. So all the coding schools and all the billions spent on female-led coding schools and all these movements that were amazing, that were supposed to be empowering everybody and from townships all the way up, now all of a sudden can utilize something called Devon that's been launched by Cognition. And this really is the difference between what coding used to be is us understanding the language of computers. Now computers have learned the language of English, and all we have to do is speak English to it. And now it understands exactly what we want to do, and it processes the thing underneath. So yes, coding is gone as well, because there's no need to code. In fact, not gone. We can all become coders now, which is awesome. If you've got the aptitude to do that, you can just talk it in. Yeah.
And that's actually what we've been saying for a while, is that what artificial intelligence ends up doing is it actually unleashes more creativity, because yes, it empowers people who had a certain vision, but they didn't have the skill to execute on that vision, to now see it come to fruition. And we've seen plenty of examples of people who have coded apps or coded Chrome extensions where, like, they're like, I want this thing. I don't know how to create it. ChatGPT, tell me, how do I code this extension? And then they get all the code, copy and paste, and all of a sudden, like, it comes to life. You have this thing. So it really, you know, when you're thinking about artificial intelligence in your own life, you need to think about, like, how can you use it to bring things that you might have previously wanted to do but couldn't do because of a lack of skill? How can you bring that to life? Because you don't need to be a good graphic designer anymore to create cool graphics. You don't need to be a coder in order to create an app. So, like, your opportunities really become limitless.
Absolutely. You know, the thing you do is you get away from basic, we're spending so much time doing basic things that we don't free up the time to think about more creative things. And if you go back to agricultural times, we were working in farms, then in industrial times, we don't need to do those things. We've evolved having those things taken care of. So housework and rudimentary factory work, when those are out the way, we give ourselves a space to think about things in bigger ways and in bigger terms. And so that's really important for us to keep realizing, is that we've done this throughout history many times, and we just have to do it at a bit more of a pace this time around. But also, we've now had another company called Anthropic that has launched something called Claude 3, which is faster, better than ChatGPT-4. And it can take up to 150 pages of information. So you can put whole books into it now, which is very different to ChatGPT and the other ones where you're supposed to capped at what you could input it. So Anthropic has brought out Claude 3. And so if you want to upload 150 pages in and ask it to summarize it, that's your platform to go to, Claude 3 from Anthropic.
I came across a study where they spoke about, they looked at these large language models, and they were wondering the level of persuasiveness that these models have. So they wanted to test to see when engaging in debate with a human being, how persuasive can these models be to get them to sway their thinking? And so in this study, they looked at four different debate situations. They had humans debate humans. They had humans debate AI. Then they had humans debate humans, but with personalization. And the personalization just means that you have some background information on me, what I think, my religion, you know, things that might be relevant in the context of the debate. And then you had AI versus human with personalization. And it's really scary that when they analyze the four different versions of it, when AI has personalization, so when it has some information on you and it debates with you, it had 81% higher persuasion rate than human-to-human persuasion.
Just
81.7%.
Wow. 81%.
81%.
Oh my God, that's scary.
And so I think what's quite significant about this is that, you know, a lot of our future is going to be chat-based. And imagine what happens in a world where LLMs have access to your data, because that's going to happen more and more as well. They'll have more and more context on you. And all of these data points that companies collect will feed into these LLMs. And it means that if they have a certain, you know, we spoke about this last week, if there's a certain propaganda or narrative being pushed, then it could be easier for them to persuade you into certain ways of thinking because this LLM is so effective at persuading you in terms of how you think. So I thought that was really interesting.
Well, social media has already done this. Social media has already done this through just curating, not creating. And so now what we're going to have is the next level of AI is creating content, not even curating the existing content created by humans. So yeah, the propaganda machine is going to be, you're going to be super. I was watching a TikTok the other day and I was watching it and I was thinking, wow, this is so amazing. I've never seen anything like this. And at the bottom it had AI generated. I didn't even know. If it didn't say AI generated, I wouldn't have a clue.
I think it might also be interesting just for people just also being more open to change. So like, you know, if we have, obviously very polarizing issues in the world, and to be able to engage with LLMs as a way of like openness training, you know, or I don't know, inclusivity training for you to understand other points of view better. I think it might be an incredible use case for it as well.
Wow. You're right. You're right. I mean, I've had a video called Multidimensional Storytelling, and you can speak directly to certain characters. And that's a nice thing to do, is like speak directly to somebody who's experiencing life from a different, very different perspective and see the world through their eyes, you know, how are they feeling? What are they thinking? And that can give you a lot of empathy.
Yeah. Cool. What's next?
Okay, great. So I read something around how University of Chicago has invented a vaccine to help you forget. Now, this is, sounds weird because marijuana does the same thing, but it's very different. This vaccine helps you stop autoimmune diseases. Now, let's think about what an autoimmune disease is really. It's your body killing itself. So you've created a body that's attacking itself, and that's called an autoimmune disease. But actually where it's derived from is an internal dialogue that for years has been attacking itself. And then your body cells start to take orders from the pilot. And the pilot of the plane is saying, we are terrible, we are terrible, I'm terrible, I'm terrible. So your body starts doing the same. And what this apparently, what this vaccine does, it helps your body forget so that it, the autoimmune disease can also stop. And so it's an amazing thing
really
because people are, look, if you're not meditating and doing the consciousness work, where you can start to have a loving relationship with yourself, when itself will start to heal the autoimmune disease. But if you can't do that and you're not doing that, maybe this vaccine will help. I don't know if it's out yet, but they've launched the sort of papers around it. And so really interesting that we can now to start to see vaccines in the future have nanotechnology inside them and really be able to do very specific tasks based on the programming that they're going to take. Now, obviously, this has got pros and cons. And if anybody listening to them is freaking out and saying it's going to, you know, put it into our kids or something and kill it. Yes, there is those options. But as always, an axe can cut your wood to make you feel warm or kill you. I mean, so yes, exactly. All of it is neutral. So the repercussions of this is that you can heal very acute diseases based on the programming that you put into viruses. And so this one is helping us forget. And I thought it was really interesting to bring up.
You know, the meta theme here actually for this entire podcast is that yes, there's a lot of awesome stuff happening in the world of AI and technology and like just the progress that we are experiencing as the human race. But the meta theme actually is that humans are just amazing. Like humans are incredibly talented and smart to be able to create this kind of machinery and technology. I mean, can you imagine, like go back a few years and tell people about what we're experiencing today. Like they can't, you wouldn't be able to comprehend that this could exist.
Fathom it.
And
yeah.
To think we that someone can actually, yeah, when you think of LLMs, just the way and like that bit of technology operates. And like someone explained it to me yesterday in terms of how it vectorizes different words and how it chooses what comes next. It's like, it's mind blowing that someone sat down and was able to figure this out and ultimately create it. It's humans are just, we are a phenomenal species.
We are phenomenal. I agree. And thank you so much for that. I think that's really important to remember continuously, because there is a narrative in the world that says we're so shit, we've ruined the world. Yes, a lot of people have, but yes, a lot of people are trying to make it better. I find every time I see an animal that's not being treated well, or I see an animal in a cage or chained up, like when I see a dog, when I say animal, I have to keep reminding myself that there's millions of people loving their pets and buying them roast chicken. So I've got to keep reminding myself that there's always that side of the world as well. And remember that I'm trying to find ways to feel sad. So I'm using that dog to give me the hit of feeling sad, which is really nothing to do with the dog at all in any way, you know? So we are amazing and we must keep reminding ourselves how amazing we are. In the month of March, just another way to explain to us how amazing we are, Boom, which is a new airline company, has built the first supersonic private jet. And so what this means is that you'll be able to travel across the world in a couple hours rather than 10 hours or 15 hours. So now you can really bring it down. So I imagine the billionaires of the world will start to order these Boom private jets, which will, and you know, for a billionaire, you know, the most precious thing is time. And so if they can move things quicker, faster, sharper, Boom Technologies arrived. So look them up. They're really exciting. Great website, actually. Boom Technology creating the first supersonic private jet is now starting to come out. Another one that I found really interesting is Stanford University has discovered 6 new bacteria strains. And these new six bacteria strains are able to deal with the superbugs that have become resistant to any vaccines. And so this is a brand new type of bacteria that is able to help humans, you know, evolve and be better and deal with any of these sort of superbugs that people get inside hospitals. And so, you know, so much has happened. We've had stuff being put into our brains. We've had the biggest rocket go up. We've got NVIDIA launching things weekly that are just mind-blowing. I mean, the robots that he launched just recently are just out of this world. The universities are launching new bacterias and viruses that are helping us. And it was, Ray Kurzweil that was on a podcast recently, and he said, if you are just able to stay alive for the next 4 to 5 years, you'll stay alive till 500 years, till you're 500 years old. And it's called the longevity escape velocity. And it's kicking in apparently now-ish over the next few years. And so think about these technologies that are being launched and how these will make a healthy person so much healthier, so much better, almost de-age in many ways. So I think it's a very exciting time if you have the overarching broad internal dialogue that we're amazing, and we can keep doing amazing things, and we'll keep bringing more love to the world and more consciousness to the world. And in that way, we can heal all the past and heal all the mess that we've actually made, you know? So I think we have a very optimistic future ahead of us.
Yeah, listen, I've loved this. It's been a bit of a different episode, actually, a bit of a roundup episode of what happened in March. And I quite enjoyed it. I think we should actually keep doing these as well, just to highlight some of the exciting things that are happening. Because as always, when you leave this podcast, we want you to be very, very excited for the future. That's ultimately our biggest aim, is that the more we can make you optimistic about the future, the more you are going to approach it with an open and adaptable mindset, and the more you are going to thrive in that future. And ultimately, that's why we're here and why we do what we do. Brother, that's been awesome. I've really enjoyed it. Thank you for sharing all those incredible discoveries and progress that's happening in March as well.
My absolute pleasure. It's wonderful to be expansive with you.
Yeah. And as always, for those listening, you should head over to YouTube, because we are trying to foster more of a community on the YouTube side. Plus, you get to see what we actually look like and not just the voices. We'll also start linking some more stuff in YouTube as well for you to be able to go down the rabbit hole, and especially like things, you know, episodes like today, where you might want to go and explore a bit more into these topics that we spoke about. And as always, you know, thank you for listening. We really appreciate your time, that you spend your time with us. And if you feel so inclined, head over to iTunes or to Spotify to leave a review for us on the pod. We love receiving those. And so until next time, be expansive.
Ciao.